What's the truth about federal telework? Learn what you and your agency need to know at the Telework Center at federalnewsradio.com, keyword telework. Sponsored by Tanberg, now a part of Cisco.
Welcome to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey. Delighted to have you with us. If you're in the Washington area, hope you're not out in traffic because it is not fun out there. We've had more than 3 inches of rain this morning and more to come. The show today is going to be, I think, an unusually interesting one. It's very off the beat. Normally, we try to stick to pay and benefits, you know, follow the money, that sort of thing. But I ran into an old friend last week in Atlanta at the Federal Dispute Resolution Conference. This is Steve Bauer, and he is executive director of something called the Federal Employees Education and Assistance Fund. And every time Steve and I get together, we have a good time, but we always talk about what he's up to lately. And for a little retrospect, and I don't know if you heard the promo coming in, but in April of 1995, there was that terrorist bombing in Oklahoma City. I think it's the Alfred Murrow building, where more than 190 federal workers were killed in a truck bomb explosion by a domestic terrorist, and they left behind 200 children. Some of them lost both parents, some only, if you will, only one parent, and one of the babies was 3 months from being born. This is a long time ago, and Steve Bauer's group stepped in. And Steve, are you with us?
I sure am. Good morning.
Thank you for coming. I know you're out in the Midwest, and it's earlier here on the East Coast. But I was going to tell the story, but you tell it because you lived it, if you would. I was talking about the bombing, the Oklahoma City bombing, and the aftermath.
Yeah, it was a day that certainly will live in infamy. April 19th, 1995, and after the terrorist bombing, because of what we do at the Federal Employee Education and Assistance Fund, which is provide scholarships and emergency assistance to federal employees. I was on a plane to Oklahoma City the next day, and we were set up in the First Christian Church right near the Alfred Murrah building. That's where the survivors and the families of those who didn't survive were gathered as they dug through the rubble, hoping to find someone alive, and then fortunately, no miracles occurred. They didn't pull anybody out alive, and we were spending a lot of money helping people, unfortunately, and often to bury a loved one, sometimes to bring relatives in for the funeral, to do whatever they needed. And while we were there, we began fundraising for our efforts in Oklahoma City, and amazingly, people from everywhere, not just federal employees, began to contribute, and money was coming in, and it looked like we were going to actually bring in more money than what we needed to provide immediate relief to the families and get them through the first couple of days and weeks and months. So we decided to set up a scholarship program because we also do an annual scholarship competition for federal employees and their families, not realizing at the time that we were setting up a program that ultimately would put 200 kids through college. The funding has come in. We've been right on time. We've got 168 kids already either through or in college. We still have a number of years to go for this program, but it's amazing how much they appreciate it. It's just amazing that people still remember, and that's what the kids, I think, really appreciate. Free college tuition and full ride for whatever school they can get into is a wonderful gift, but to them it says we remember.
Yeah.
And we appreciate what your folks did for this country.
Well, it's so incredible. I mean, it sounds like a Hollywood B movie, you know, a tearjerker kind of thing, but this is reality. And when you were talking about the aftermath of the bombing, you know, the ultimate tragedy, the surprise, the horror, the shock, the deaths, the immediate deaths, and I remember Meg Greenfield, who was the chief editorial writer for the Washington Post, and she once said, you know, very philosophically, she said, after every funeral, at some point, somebody has to say, what's for lunch? And, you know, life goes on. And after the horror of the Oklahoma City tragedy, nearly 200 people killed, people had bills to pay. They had, as you said, to send money to relatives to come into town, and that's where an outfit like FIA steps in.
Absolutely. You can even get more mundane. I mean, people had lawns to mow. I had volunteers going to mow people's lawns. And sometimes that's what hits people through the tragedy. It's the little things, like my relatives are coming for the funeral. My house needs to be cleaned. And incredibly, we had people that recognized that. Volunteers, a lot from the Federal Managers Association, Tinker Air Force Base chapter. They were out in force, and they were driving people around town. They were not only was I writing checks to pay bills, but they were delivering them so that the folks could relax and know that everything was taken care of, and they could concentrate on their grief and getting their life together. So it was an absolute surreal scene.
That's right. It's not a ceremony and then it's over. And people bring meals by, and as you said, drive people around. Just the mundane, the everyday bits of life that are necessary, and somebody's got to work with it.
Absolutely. I wasn't there, but secondhand, one of my volunteers was out at one of the individuals' houses, and they had bills to pay, and they took out their checkbook, and in an hour, they couldn't write one check. I mean, they just couldn't finish it. They needed a lot of hand-holding, and they got it.
Well, that was 1995, and then so over the years, you have been the godfather and the godmother, and I guess the good cop and the bad cop with these kids as they get near college age, as they decide what college they're going to go to and what college will accept them. Can you tell us, without violating anybody's privacy, some of the discussions you've had with these young people and their families, both good and bad?
Most of them have been good and been very pleasant. We obviously get the calls, and having put three kids through college myself, and I always like to tell the story. My oldest, bless her heart, knew what school she wanted to go to, knew what she wanted to major in, graduated in 4 years, went to work in that field, and is very successful. My second went to an out-of-state school, Berkeley, and he took 5 years to graduate because he was an athlete and he could only go to class half days. And when he graduated, he said, "Dad, I'm going to move to LA and be an actor." It's like, why did we pay for 5 years of college? And my youngest, bless his heart, he took 6 years to get through community college. And we had all those same kind of situations. But the nice part is, with the fundraising we've done and continue to do, when someone would call and say, "Well, you know, I'm a junior, but I want to change my major, and it's going to take me another year to get my degree. Can we do that?" The answer has always been yes. I'm going into business, and that means I'm going to need my MBA. Will you help with that? And the answer has always been yes. But we've also had a lot of kids who I want to take off a semester because I'm still not psychologically recovered. I mean, I'm still grieving. I'm still having nightmares, and we've lived through all those things. We've done everything we can do. Certainly not everyone's been a success. Not every kid has gotten through college, but most have. And the beautiful part of it all is, as I think you know, is that so many of these kids have gone into what I call the helping professions. I know I shared a letter with you recently, and again, without, divulging any personal information. I mean, one of the quotes I love from this is, "I have always wanted to help people, which is why I chose a career in the field of communication sciences and disorders. My main goals in therapy will be to instill in my patients that they can achieve all their goals and to never give up." And this young lady never gave up. She had tragedy after tragedy following the loss of her mother and in the bombing. Her dad had problems. Her siblings had problems. She barely got out of high school after being a straight-A student. Ended up joining the Army for 4 years, and that helped straighten her out. And she went back to school and got her degree, and life is good at last.
Steve, but I want to...
long time.
We need to take a break here, but when we come back, I want to ask you more about her as being typical and atypical of these children. We'll be right back here on WFED 1500 AM.
There is is a watchmaking standard that is revered around the world. That standard comes from Rolex. From clasp to bracelet to its unique watertight oyster case, a Rolex holds its value because it was intended to. Crafted from just three precious metals, platinum, steel, and gold, each defies the ordinary. Its steel, 904L, virtually indestructible and corrosion-resistant, is incomparable. Its patented Everrose Gold, created in an exclusive foundry, will remain beautiful for life. Inside, a genuine Rolex movement is a product of superiority and remarkable testing. It is unrivaled. At Rolex, flawless standards create more than a watch. They create a value that was meant to endure. For a complete selection of Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Tourneau, the world's largest watch store since 1900. Tourneau, the fashion center at Pentagon City, Arlington.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Airink.
North Korea, in many ways, is still in a dark, repressive state, at least to its citizens. But it's stepping into the next century in some ways. It's turned to Twitter and YouTube in its propaganda war against South Korea. An interesting twist to this story is that those websites are banned for most citizens in that reclusive country. The Kim Jong-il regime says more than 80 videos have been uploaded since July in their quest to sway opinion about the country. I'm J.J. Green.
When you hear the word counterfeit, you automatically think of money. Well, it's much broader than that. Everything you buy has the potential of being counterfeit, especially those items that are hard to find and run the risk of becoming obsolete. And that's where Airink comes in. They're helping customers plan ahead for parts obsolescence so that when a part is needed, no matter how small, it's the real deal. When lives are at stake and relying on the integrity of systems is critical, there's no time to question authenticity. For more information and career opportunities, log on to airinc.com.
The latest from the Federal Security Spotlight brought to you by Cisco.
What's wrong with cybersecurity? Just a few things. Here's Homeland Security's National Programs and Protections Directorate Advisor, Bruce McConnell.
Today we have an insecure system, malicious code propagating at machine speed, security tools operating independently from each other, adoption of security standards very slow, inconsistent security policies, inconsistent implementation of security policies, a lot of manual processes.
To hear the entire show, log on to federalnewsradio.com. Will the top-of-mind security issues of today be the issues facing government tomorrow? Get the latest from federal experts on FISMA reform, the cyber initiative, how government is combating botnets, spyware, and other cyber evils, and more. Listen to Federal Security Spotlight, sponsored by Cisco, airing Thursday from 10 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. or on demand at federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Security Spotlight is brought to you by Cisco, the leader in federal IT security.
Hey there, I'm Christopher Dorabeck. Here's what we're working on for the Dorabeck Insider this afternoon. Recovery.gov, the site widely praised for its innovative way of making government information available and transparent. We'll get lessons learned from the man who managed the creation of that website and end-of-year spending, generally riddled with waste, right? One academic actually parsed through the data. His findings just might surprise you. We'll tell you about him this afternoon, 3 to 7, on the Dorabeck Insider. It's right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Welcome back to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey. Really glad to have you with us today. And I'm talking with Steve Bauer. He is Executive Director of the Federal Employee Education and Assistance Fund, and it is a Feds Helping Feds charity. It's part of the combined federal campaign. And you, and Steve, you have some very generous corporate donors, too, don't you?
We do, indeed. As designed, most of our contributions come from federal employees themselves, particularly in the combined federal campaign, which is kicking off right after Labor Day in most locations. And we certainly want folks to remember us. Employees also give directly online, and we should give our website so people know about not just Oklahoma City, but all the programs that we run every year for federal employees. And that's www.feea.org, FEA.org. But we couldn't do all that we do without corporate sponsors. Blue Cross Blue Shield is a very large sponsor through their federal employee program. They are giving back to the federal community for the folks that support them. Geico and many people, these days it always surprises me how many people don't know that, that Geico actually stood for something once. Geico was Government Employees Insurance Company, started by a federal employee.
Not a gecko, right.
Not a gecko, exactly. Long-term care partners, who was not around in 1995, has become a big corporate sponsor as well. They provide long-term care insurance for federal employees and retirees. So there's lots of corporate sponsors. There's also a lot of association sponsors, from Federal Managers Association to unions like NTU and AFGE and NEFI, Senior Executive Association. Today I'm at the Blacks in Government Conference, and they're big supporters as well, with 3,000 friends in here in Kansas City. So it's amazing how everybody comes together. And in the case of Oklahoma City, I always like to point out, it wasn't just federal employees. I mean, America came together and recognized that federal employees were their neighbors, their friends, the people that delivered the mail. You think about the diverse agencies that were housed in the Murrah Building. We lost folks from HUD, Social Security, Federal Highways, the Secret Service, General Service Administration, DEA, the Department of Defense, USDA, Customs, the Marines, Army, and the list goes on and on. But, I mean, we were getting, you know, pennies collected by Girl Scouts around the country. To this day, you talk about remembering and never forgetting. I get a check every year of $4,000 from Madame Normande in France. And my French is very limited, so we have some pretty fractured conversations. I do know how to say merci beaucoup. She sends $4,000 every year for the Oklahoma Fund.
That's absolutely amazing.
It truly is.
And that it's kept going on. Well, I know before the break we were discussing one individual. We want to protect his or her privacy, but I know they told you that, and I could interrupt myself here. I have heard, I have read, and I have experienced with two different individuals, two friends, that when the death of a parent, unexpected death at an early age for the kids, oftentimes changes their life, usually not for the better, and in some cases you have arrested development. And I know there are two people who admit that and admit to having a lot of anger because of the death of a parent when they were young. This young person was in high school when she got a call on the loudspeaker in Oklahoma City, and they said that they've called him out, and an uncle was there to tell this kid that the mother had been killed in the bombing, in the Oklahoma City bombing. And this had been a picture book, textbook family. The mother and father had been high school sweethearts. They married at 17 or 18 or 18 and 19. They'd been married for a little more than 25 years when this hit, and it just devastated the family. And the one child that Fia had a real success story with, as you pointed out, went in the Army, got their act together after some very tough times. But this was a long waiting period for everybody involved, including you, as the, I guess you're the check writer, huh?
Yes. In fact, this fall I will be signing my $10 million in scholarship check. So it's a big celebration for us and all the folks that will be able to help out. I think the young lady you're referring to, she may have actually said it best in a very concise sentence when she said, "Coping with death is always hard to do, but to try and cope with the unwarranted and malicious murder of an innocent person is almost unbearable."
Yes, that's right.
And that's death, exactly what happened.
Death is natural. This is certainly not that way. Well, see, fast forward now. This started in 1995, and that's amazingly touching that this woman in France sends you $4,000 every year. I mean, what an amazing thing. Somebody may have told her that it takes $4,000 to get an American student through school. It's an interesting figure, but the fact that she does it every year, this continues on, and then you have 9/11, September 11th, 2001. When the World Trade Centers were attacked, and of course the Pentagon was attacked, and I remember watching the Pentagon, the smoke from the Pentagon from our fourth floor here at WFED. It was just a galvanizing, a game changing moment for all of us. And what happened to how many federal workers were killed or seriously injured in that, and what did FIA do for their kids?
The number was over 50, and I don't think to this day many people realize that, you know, our mission is for civilian federal employees and their families. There are similar funds for Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine Corps, even Coast Guard, that the majority of the folks that did die or were severely injured in the Pentagon were civilian federal employees. And that's our folks. And, we'll be putting about another 50 kids through college, who, either lost a parent or, had a, parents severely disabled or burned. In fact, there were many, many serious burn victims from the jet fuel.
I visited one of them recently, and believe me, that's for life. We need to take a short break here, talking with Steve Bauer, Federal Employees Education Assistance Fund, and we'll be right back here on WFED 1500 AM.
Checking your daily TSP ticker. The latest numbers from August 12, 2010. The G Fund is unchanged at $13.37. The F Fund falls 0.02 at $14.26. The C Fund down 0.07 at $13. The S Fund drops 0.07 at $16.85. The I Fund is down 0.01 at $17.38. Losses for your L Funds. The 2010 falls 0.01 at $15.45. The 2020 is down 0.03 at $15.35. The 2030 falls 0.04 at $15.43. The 2040 is down 0.05 at $15.54. And the L Income drops 0.01 at $14.10. Check your rates anytime, every day on federalnewsradio.com. Dimitri Sotis, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m., right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
At Task, we use our brain power every day to imagine a variety of scenarios that might happen in the years ahead. Task experts design, engineer, test, and analyze systems that prepare important government agencies today, long before a problem or crisis arises. Task is looking for intelligent men and women to help us anticipate and solve future challenges. To learn how you can join our smart and visionary team, please visit TASC.com. That's Task.com. Task is an equal opportunity employer. U.S. citizenship is required for most positions.
What are some of the critical transportation challenges facing the U.S.? How is the Research and Innovative Technology Administration, or RITA, advancing an intelligent transportation system? What is IntelliDrive? And what role does technology play in making our transportation systems safe, secure, and efficient? Listen next week as these topics and more will be explored with Peter Appel, Administrator of the Research and Innovative Technology Administration within the Department of Transportation. Join host Michael Keegan next week on the Business of Government Hour.
The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m. Hear interviews, news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the federal government and how it impacts your organization or agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. The right technology, right away.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit, presented by NITP, has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit, Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
If you work for or have worked for the federal government, I want to tell you about an organization that's been around for over 80 years. It's NARF. Organized in 1921 to protect and enhance the retirement and health benefits of federal employees, NARF wants you to know that laws can change and so can your retirement security. Protect it by joining NARF, the only association that's dedicated to making sure your retirement is secure when you reach retirement. Don't wait until after you retire to join NARF. Check out their website at www.narfe.org. You'll see that NARF is a great investment for your retirement future. Then click on the Join Now button and join hundreds of thousands of federal retirees and employees as a NARF member. That's www.narfe.org. Or call 1-800-627-3394 and ask them to send you some information. Join now. NARF, your best retirement investment.
Hey, Caps fans, are you ready for the total Caps experience? The Capitals Convention returns on Saturday, October 2nd at the Washington Convention Center in downtown D.C. Spend a full day immersed in Capitals hockey with players, coaches, management, and alumni. Get players' autographs and learn more about their lives both on and off the ice. And be the first to see the 2011 Winter Classic uniforms. Tickets are $45 for adults and $25 for kids. Last year's convention sold out with over 5,000 guests, so get your tickets now at WashingtonCaps.com.
Welcome back to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey. I'm talking with Steve Bauer. He is Executive Director of FEA, that's the Federal Employees Educational and Assistance Fund, and it's been around for a long time. It was founded by federal workers and friends of feds, and the idea is to, they set up a charity to provide financial assistance, grants, and scholarships to the children and to federal workers themselves. And, of course, one of their finest hours came after the bombing in Oklahoma City, and it continues to this day. That was April 1995. And FEA, through contributions from corporate sponsors and individual employees, and that sweet lady in France who sends $4,000 a year, has been able to put through about 200 kids through college, or they're currently in college, and they got a free ride any place they could qualify and get into, and it's been a remarkable story. Before the break, we started talking about 9/11. Now, of course, the most people who were over 20 years old know about 9/11 to some degree, but that was when terrorists attacked the World Trade Centers in New York and destroyed them both. Great loss of life. A number of the people who were killed were public employees. They were fire and police and EMTs, and they repeatedly went back into the building saving people, and many of them were killed in their efforts to rescue other people. The Washington part of it is probably less known in some parts of the country because the damage was less, but an airplane crashed into the Pentagon, and to make it up close and personal, a friend of mine worked for the Navy, and she was in the office where, and the plane went right under her office. But she had to take her husband to the doctor that day, and herself called in sick, so she missed it. Another good friend watched the plane, physically saw it crash into the building from his office building about a half a block away. My oldest son was on the non-crash side of the Pentagon at that time, and my youngest son was out at Dulles Airport, from whence the airplane, the DC to LA airplane, was hijacked and diverted and crashed into the Pentagon. I have a very good friend who was supposed to be on that flight, but her business sent her to Los Angeles a day early, so she went out September 10th, not the 11th, on that flight. And of course, we watched it here from this building. We watched the smoke and the flames and the traffic disruption. What happened? What did FEA do after the 9/11 bombing or the crash? And what? Where are these kids now?
Well, once again, in the immediate aftermath, I was grounded in Colorado. Flights didn't resume for almost a week, but we have a DC office, and we were set up at the Sheraton in Crystal City, and shadow of the Pentagon, and again, all the families were there. OPM was there, and Department of Labor and Veterans, and once again, we had people who needed immediate help with, as we call it, the little things sometimes. But I mean, we had folks that jumped in their car in Alabama because their mother was in the Pentagon and was either killed or injured, and you know, they left their job. Their job doesn't pay them when they're not there. They didn't have any. I mean, they just literally jumped in a car. They didn't have clothes with them. I mean, we were buying clothes for funeral, putting people up in housing. In that first month, we spent about $400,000 helping people, again, with whatever they needed. We now have about 12 kids in college this year. We've already put one through Brown University. That's an expensive proposition, but well worth it, and she is incredibly grateful and has written us many times. You mentioned your personal connection. Although most of my career, as you pointed out in your column today, was with Social Security, I actually retired from DOD in my last station was in the Pentagon, and incredibly, one of the individuals who was very seriously burned and was in the hospital for a long time, I worked with his wife in the Pentagon, and that's the girl that their baby went to Brown University, and keeps us on track. She's now going to graduate school, University of Southern California, and once again, you know, she's going to go on a profession that will be one that we call helping professions, if you will.
One last personal touch for both of us is someone that you and I knew for years, David O., better known as Doc Cook, who was director of administration at the Pentagon, and he was called the mayor of the Pentagon, and he was one of those people. They say somebody is everywhere and everybody knows him. He would fit that category. He was at all of the events you and I used to go to, and he was in charge of administration, and as such, he had overseen a rebuilding and a re-strengthening of the Pentagon, and I am told that, and they'd completed that side where the airplane crashed, and I'm told that had that not been done, the aircraft would have penetrated much deeper. It would have killed and burned many more people. So Doc died some years ago, but, you know, a lot of us in this area have a stake in that terrible day.
Absolutely. Doc was my boss at the Pentagon.
Really?
And I am proud to say that we do an annual scholarship in his name. And we will, that's endowed and will be ad infinitum, because he was a jewel of a man. Absolutely.
Oh, well, that's wonderful. Steve, I love to tell the story. You told me this a couple of years ago, and in fact, I just talked to Amy Morris and Tom Timmon about it. But the time there was the disastrous hurricane in Florida, and there have been a lot of them, but this was one that was so bad, I think, that power was knocked out for several months, that people were cooking off barbecues, grills, and borrowing food and that kind of thing. And it's as I recall, you jumped in an airplane with a suitcase full of money.
Yeah, it was, you know, it goes back a ways, 1992, and it was a different time. You know, the world changes so fast now, but, you know, we couldn't do everything from our cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't have all these portable devices. I mean, if you needed money, you went to the bank, and you went to a teller. There were ATMs, but not a lot of them. And, indeed, Hurricane Andrew just literally destroyed the town of Homestead, Florida, and there was a large Air Force base there, and I got a call and said, you know, we know what you do. You help federal employees. We got a lot of federal employees that need help. And get down here, and by the way, bring cash.
Yes.
It really didn't dawn on me, you know, why I needed to bring cash, but I said, okay, I trusted these folks, and went to our bank and got $20,000, which was a lot of money at those times,
mm-hmm.
I guess a lot of money today, but in $50 and $100 bills, and literally stuffed it in envelopes and had it on the inside jacket of my pocket, and went to the airport in Denver, and had to go through security, and of course, going through security, I'm not letting these envelopes out of my sight, so I had to get, you know, patted down and searched, and but as I'm thinking about it, I'm thinking, okay, you know, back then we weren't fighting a war on terrorism, and we were fighting a war on drugs. And now you've got this nervous white guy getting on a plane to Miami with $20,000 in cash. You know, very suspect.
You fit every profile. Steve, we need to take a short break here, but I want to get back to this and ask you if the thoughts of Las Vegas or Tahiti entered your mind just for a moment. We'll be right back here on WFPD 1500 AM.
Save money at halfpricedc.com with half-price gift certificates to the area's best restaurants, stores, spas, and more. This week, halfpricedc.com has half-price gift certificates to Chow Fraya Thai in Herndon, offering the finest Thai cuisine and warm hospitality. Blue Ridge Shadows Golf Club in Front Royal, Virginia's most beautiful golf course, ranked fourth in Virginia by Golf Magazine, and Waggle Golf Pass, a book containing huge golf deals throughout the D.C. metro area. See all the offers at halfpricedc.com.
There's something for everyone in Natchitoches. Every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, it's Miller Lite Party Night at Nationals Park. Get a scoreboard pavilion seat and drink voucher for only $20. $22 for prime games. And make sure to come early for the games, live music, and $5 drinks when the center field gates open all the way to the first pitch. A shot of baseball always cures a work-induced headache. Join the party at the park. Call 888-632-NATS or visit nationals.com.
Video teleconferencing solutions are changing the way people communicate by breaking down walls and enabling face-to-face communication regardless of distance or environment. Tanberg, now a part of Cisco, developed Break Down the Walls to provide a window into the ways government, education, and healthcare organizations are using VTC solutions to help them operate more effectively and efficiently, and the ways video solutions can be used to address challenges facing public sector organizations today. Learn more at breakdownthewalls.com.
The Dorabeck Insider, hosted by award-winning journalist and free thinker Chris Dorabeck. Engage your mind every afternoon from 3 to 7 as Chris engages the best minds in federal procurement, management, IT, and human resources. The Dorabeck Insider takes on subjects critical for an efficient government. Chris's guests answer the questions you want answered. Tune in to hear how the news shapes your daily interactions in the federal space. The Dorabeck Insider, weekday afternoons from 3 to 7, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Hey, welcome back to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey, and our guest today is Steve Bauer. He is Executive Director of the Federal Employees Education and Assistance Fund, and it is a Feds Helping Feds charity. Most of the money, I would assume, comes in as a result of the combined federal campaign, but people do send contributions from time to time, and I know there's very generous corporate sponsors. You mentioned Blue Cross, Long-Term Care Partners, and GEICO are always coming up with money when you need it, and sometimes even when you don't ask. We went over the situation with the children of the people who were killed in the Oklahoma City in the 1995 bombings. And we're talking about the situation at the Pentagon in 2001. You didn't have any federal workers that were killed, I believe, at the World Trade Centers?
There actually was one.
One, okay.
A very unlucky individual. He actually didn't work in the World Trade Center. He worked for the IRS in Boston and was down there doing an audit and staying at the Marriott World Trade Financial Center, and actually got hit by debris, ended up hospitalized and dying a few months later.
Okay, so did he have children?
He did, but they were adult children.
Okay,
he was an older gentleman, and we put his wife up in Manhattan so she could be close to him, but the kids were already through college.
Sure, I understood. So the thrust then was the children of the children whose parents were killed or seriously injured at the Pentagon. We're talking about this is kind of the zany side of it, but when you have the hurricane that destroyed Homestead, Florida, in 1992, with $20,000 in cash in a suitcase. You know, that was, as you said, a lot of money now, really a lot of money then. You could buy half a house with that in 1992, half of a nice house. So you're down there getting in the airport in Denver, was it? Getting patted
Correct.
Down? Okay.
Getting patted down, trying to get through security, right? And
did they notice anything funny in all those $1,500 bills stuffed in your pockets?
They certainly did. I mean, I you know, it's one of those things, obviously. It's like, you know, why won't you take this out of your pocket and put it through the x-ray machine? And it was because I'm not letting it out of my sight.
Uh-huh.
So they actually saw the money, and I explained to them what I was doing. I'm not sure they believed me, because when I landed in Miami, I got picked up by the Customs Service.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but the good news was it was on purpose.
Well,
I had to get down to Homestead, Florida. And the roads were impassable. Trees were down all over the roads. They had a drug interdiction unit down there. They flew Black Hawk helicopters off the coast out of Homestead Air Force Base. They had evacuated the helicopters before the storm hit, brought them back in. They picked me up in Miami and flew me down to Homestead because that's the only way you could get there, and set me up literally in a trailer. And federal employees were able to get to me there in Homestead, and I mean, people needed cash to buy water, you know, and that turned out very obvious when I got down there why we needed cash.
Pretty basic, yeah. Well, when the most of us have never been in a situation where there's a long-term disruption like that. I have, and the first thing that goes usually is the electricity, and then the water supply is fouled, and if there is an ATM handy, it doesn't work. You know, this happened after Mount St. Helens. In that case, the pumice from the lava got into it from the explosion. But when you have a situation where you go to back to the 19th at least, and possibly 18th century, in a situation like this, cash is king.
Exactly right. And here, the roads were impassable, so you couldn't, even if your car was not destroyed by the hurricane and was working, well, you couldn't buy gas because gas pumps wouldn't work. If you had gas, the roads were impassable, so you were stuck there, and you needed food, you needed water, and unfortunately, people were gouging prices for water. Many people needed generators because they had, for example, medical equipment that they had to keep running to stay alive. So all these were the kind of things that people needed money for. Custom Service helped bring in generators for people that needed them, but we were able to help 400 folks down there during that storm. And the thing that impressed me to this day, and the thing that has made me more dedicated to what we do, which is federal employees helping federal employees, is that the federal employees down there who had lost their homes, lost their cars, were worried about their spouses and their children, you know, did they evacuate in time, they were out there working. They were helping other people. Most employees were trying to deliver Social Security checks by, you know, driving around neighborhoods that were destroyed, trying to find people.
I remember you telling me about teams of postal workers and Social Security people who would find addresses. In some cases, the houses were gone, and they were looking for the owners, the occupants, to give them a check.
Exactly. People didn't have direct deposit back then.
Mm-hmm.
And literally checks were being delivered, and they had to get them into the hands of the people. It was just incredible. And as I said, the Customs Service people they had some generators. They were literally giving them to people who needed them for medical reasons. There were federal employees everywhere doing whatever they could do to make life better for the rest of America and the folks down there, just like folks do every day.
That is funny.
Absolutely amazing.
About like the first responders, the police and fire people at the World Trade Center, who like everybody else could have run and would have lived, but they went back into the building. Some of them 6 or 8 times. Many of them died doing that, but that was their job.
Exactly. And federal employees' job is to make America a better place and do what they do to keep this country running and to make life better for everyone. And that's what they do, and it doesn't matter what's happening around them. They're on a mission, and they take that mission very seriously.
Steve, we've talked about the emergency work that FEA does, the long-term and short-term. When we come back from a break, I want to ask you about sort of day-to-day operations, how people can get scholarships, and what are the criteria. So we'll be right back here on WFED 1500 AM.
There's no better way to study the world's best golf swings than to watch them side by side on the range. Move down the line from Arnold Palmer to Fred Couples to Phil Mickelson, and you notice not just the differences, but the similarities, like their wonderful balance, rhythm, and timing. And if you look closely as they leave, you'll notice something else they have in common. The same timepiece, a Rolex Day-Date. Available in 18-karat white or yellow gold or platinum, the Day-Date is put through 15 days and nights of the most grueling testing before it ever leaves Geneva. That ensures that, like these great golfers, it will perform as well in the real world as it does in practice. To see a complete selection of Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Tourneau, the world's largest watch store since 1900. Tourneau, the fashion center at Pentagon City, Arlington.
And now Ask the CIO, brought to you by Vion Corporation.
Joe Klimovich is the CIO of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. He says help is on the way to make data sharing easier.
We're building a
high-capacity nationwide network to service our researchers. And we're calling this network NWAVE, and we'll support 80 terabytes of climate research data per day, high-speed network, partnering with Internet 2. And again, that'll be a 10-gig connection and primarily focusing on climate data.
CIOs and IT directors, is your network-attached storage infrastructure out of control? Do you have dozens and dozens of NAS appliances that are difficult to administer? Ask the experts at Vion Corporation how Hitachi's high-performance NAS, powered by BlueArc, can consolidate your NAS infrastructure, reduce your number of NAS appliances, and improve your NAS performance. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com. Please join Jim Fleisig August 24th at 12 noon for his monthly series, The Federal Executive Forum. This month's program will discuss critical issues on optimizing government's infrastructure. The panel includes government leaders from DISA, FAA, and the Department of Energy. Don't miss the Federal Executive Forum on Tuesday, August 24th at 12 noon, right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com. Sponsored by Ciena, Riverbed Technology, and Red Hat.
You probably know a neighbor, a coworker, or even a relative who's training right now for the Marine Corps Marathon. It's time for you to get off the sidelines and into the action, working alongside the proud men and women of the United States Marine Corps. Volunteer for Marine Corps Marathon Weekend from October 29th to the 31st. Support is needed at the kids' run, on course, and at the finish with specialized medical and massage therapy volunteers requested. Sign up to volunteer as an individual or a group for Marine Corps Marathon Weekend in Arlington, Virginia. Call 1-800-RUN-USMC or visit marinemarathon.com.
Hey, welcome back to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey. I'm talking with Steve Bauer. He's executive director of FEA, which stands for Federal Employees Education and Assistance Fund. And Steve, Dorothy Rominski, our cruel but fair producer, tells me we've got about 7 minutes, and we've hit the high points. I mean, to me, the most touching and heroic part of it, helping the children of federal workers who were killed in the Oklahoma City bombing, in the attack on the Pentagon, your work at Homestead Air Force Base. We didn't touch on Hurricane Katrina, which is, I guess, one of the biggest natural disasters the country has ever had. Did you get on your bicycle and head there?
It's funny. It was a tremendous disaster, and FEA ended up helping 4,000 federal employees with about $1.8 million. But there was no place to go down there, and there was no place where federal employees could get to us. So we were doing it by phone, fax, email, and in fact, of those 4,000 checks that we sent out, they went to 38 different states because people scattered all over the country. So we took care of those folks, but there wasn't any way to do it and with that personal touch. They were able to get us on the phone, they were able to fax us information, and we were able to get checks. And in fact, I had a lot of volunteers in our office in Colorado who would call everyone before we sent a check to be sure they were still in the same place they were yesterday when they applied.
38 states. Well, that just goes to show, you know, there was so much criticism at the time about the slow response, but when you get down there, there's nowhere to go. It's literally underwater or destroyed, and the people have scattered to 38 states, but you still managed to get checks to 4,000 federal workers. And there's a large concentration of federal civil servants in New Orleans, including the Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board, which we know as the TSP. It had a major finance operation there, as did Agriculture Department. So a lot of federal workers and good work
absolutely.
Done for them.
And that Agriculture Department payroll office did payroll for a lot of other agencies, and they didn't miss a beat.
It's
they were able to transfer things to other locations, and everybody got paid on time. So.
I guess most people know that a lot of federal operations are concentrated in certain areas because of political power of the members of Congress who want a facility there. I mean, the Lyndon Johnson Space Center is a case in point, but things get put in places for political reasons, not necessarily for the best geographic reason, and the people at the Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board realized this, that New Orleans was at risk. And they set up two alternate centers to handle thrift savings plan matters and whatnot. One was in Pennsylvania, and another is at an undisclosed site fairly near here. And but they were operational, and when the hurricane hit, they really didn't miss a beat because of that. But there's just so many things people don't understand about the aftermath of a natural or a man-made disaster. Now, how about day-to-day federal workers? go and give your website again before we get off the show so people can get information about it. But if and in the case of the Oklahoma City bombing and the attack on the Pentagon, you took care of those children. Anybody who they could get a full ride to any school they could get into, and you deliver on that promise. In the vast majority of cases, some of the kids just didn't make it. What about an ordinary federal worker who's not in poverty, not in trouble, but they'd like a little scholarship help for their kids? What do they do?
We have an annual scholarship competition, which is part of the heart and soul of what we do for federal employees and their children. What's unusual about it is that it is totally merit based. It is not needs based. We call federal employees the great middle class, which basically means that they're too rich to get financial aid, but too poor to send their kids to college. So they're frozen out of many, many, many scholarship programs. They can apply in January every year. The application is available on our website. And, in fact, people can go to the website now and sign up to get the application as soon as it comes out in January in their inbox. And we give out about $500,000 in scholarships every year. And that is totally dependent on our combined federal campaign contributions and corporate sponsors. That's where that money comes from. None of the Oklahoma money goes to that. None of the Pentagon money goes to that. None of our natural disaster money goes to that. This is raised every year, and whatever we raise during the year is given out in the next year for this competition.
You have something for federal retirees, too, don't you?
We do, and in fact, NARF is one of our sponsors in that they actually gave $100,000, NARF collected for Oklahoma City, but that's when we began working with the NARF, and I'm a proud member of the organization. We do a scholarship program for the children and grandchildren of NARF members, and we also do natural disaster assistance. So, for example, after Katrina or a natural disaster like that, we help NARF members with financial assistance, but all that money is raised by NARF and NARF members. So that, again, is separate because retirees cannot participate in the combined federal campaign.
Gotcha. Now, we talked about this being totally merit-based. If I'm a federal worker now or a postal employee, and I want to be talking about trying to get some financial assistance for the kid, and you say the applications go in or they're decided in January, what should I be doing now? Can you sum it up real quickly?
You can start gathering things. You'll need a recommendation, a transcript from the school that you're currently going to. It could be a high school. It could be the employee themselves continuing their education.
And get those grades up. Get those grades up, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Steve Bauer, thank you so much for taking time out. Steve is calling from the Midwest, and glad to have you with us today. Thanks for being with us. The show is archived on our homepage, so if you want to listen to it again or tell a friend, we'd be happy. We'll see you next Wednesday at the same time. Have a good week.
Cisco is the official sponsor of FederalNewsRadio.com. The Cisco Center at FederalNewsRadio.com is your resource for data center, security, and unified communication strategy and solutions.
Okay, people, let's settle in. We've got a lot of slides to get through on our server utilization strategy. Okay, now this is an interesting
slide. Well, you've been here before. Somewhere in your agency, someone came up with a plan for data center efficiency.
Well, if you look here at the third bullet point, this is...
Actually, what they came up with is a presentation deck. You know, with underlined sections, bullet points, few animations, and sound effects. What's missing, of course, is how the job will actually get done. Because when the federal CIO says data center efficiency is a top priority, you need more than a slideshow. You need results. That's where Dell Services comes in. We've got over 30 years of experience delivering comprehensive best-in-breed solutions. Whether that's virtualization, cloud computing, or business continuity, we're ready to listen, and we're ready to help you deliver. To learn more, go to Dell.com/deliver now.
Ugh, would you look at this bill?
Tired of paying way too much to your alarm company and not getting real security service? Switch to Ackerman Security Systems and pay